They statistically fall a year behind in math, a year behind in reading and writing, and oftentimes that sets the stage for the rest of their education to become an extremely uphill battle. And for many kids, they never get that full access to education that the public system provides. It's not just a shame because it's wrong, but it also creates huge burdens on the individual kids and on the community in general when you have a whole then generation that's coming up without the tools they need to compete and succeed. So we're very excited tonight because we're going to hear from Stephen and Renee about what it's really like when you don't have that place, that dinner table to set up and do your homework on, that the refrigerator where you can hang that good grade you got on the quiz or the test, and all the other comforts that we call home. But as I said, it is pledge drive tonight, and that means for all our faithful listeners in the hole in the bucket audience, it is time for you to step up and to call in and pledge your support to the community radio station that brings you the news about housing and homelessness that you will hear nowhere else on your FM dial. So I don't know, can you guys hear me over there in Pledge Central?
We're doing pretty good over here.
Yep. First off, we want to thank Jans and Allison and Eugene, who have become members of the KBOO Foundation by calling 503-232-8818, which is what we're asking you to do, to call up and become a member of the KBOO Foundation, become a supporter of community radio.
And this is Andy Seaton. I also want to thank you folks at the Hole in a Bucket for putting on the kind of show that you won't find anywhere else other than KBOO. You know, the issues of homelessness and the issues of fair housing and the issues of poverty just aren't covered in the mainstream media, and we're not even covered that well by National Public Radio. So please give us a call. They can keep shows like this on the air. I know that they've been. Some of the loyal listeners that are on the email list have been being reminded, this is the time to call in. This is when you're on during the pledge drive. So give us a call at 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-KBOO.
Yes, when you call up and become a member, you're not only supporting community radio. You also can ask about gifts that we have available. And we've got all sorts of items available, books and sweatshirts and mugs, all sorts of things. When you call up, talk about how much you want to give and ask the person you're talking to on the phone what gifts are available. And they'll go through the – we've got several boxes full of cards with information on gifts. And you can get a gift back, plus it's tax deductible.
Yes, and we have some books are available only here during some gifts are available only here during Hole in a Bucket. There's a great book which has just been published called Voices from the Street, Truths About Homelessness by Sisters of the Road, one of the local folks, organizations here in town that are working with the homeless. And it's a nationally renowned Sisters of the Road initiated research project resulting in over 600 interviews with individuals experiencing homelessness. And, you know, it's the folks in Portland is making a great effort, occasionally succeeding, but at least making the effort to help with the homeless situation here in Portland and here in this country. So, and we're doing our best also in Portland. And we also always have a yearly homelessness marathon where we have we turn the radio station over to deal with this issue for an entire day. So please give us a call at 503-232-8818. And this Voices from the Street is available for a $75 gift, which is about $6.50 a month or only 21 cents a day. So please give us a call, 503-232-8818.
And for a $60 minimum pledge, we've also got three other titles available. Beggars of Life by Jack Tully, You Can't Win by Jack Black, and Boxcar Bertha by Ben Reitman. All three of those, each is available for a $60 minimum pledge, but you've got to make the first step of going to the phone and calling 503-232-8818. That's 503-232-8818. 8818. Call in with that $60 pledge. You get yourself a book. You get yourself a membership card with deals at over 70 businesses around town where you can get anywhere from a 10 to a 20% discount. It's 70 businesses around town. It's tax deductible. Again, we can arrange for however you want to have an automatic withdrawal, $5 a month, $10 a month. But you need to take the first step and call us, 503-232-8818. That's 503-232-8818, or outside the Portland area, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-500-5266. Again, 1-877-500-5266.
And we want to thank Donna, who just called in from Salem, for a new membership. One of the things I want to point out here is that KBOO is really not just a radio station, but a community training center. We provide training to volunteers who want to learn the craft of radio. You can literally walk into KBOO having no experience whatsoever and learn how to be a news reporter, audio producer, engineer, music host, DJ, whatever. That's exactly what I did several years ago. And there is also many other off-air positions that need to be filled to keep this place running. I mean, everything from the engineering to team. There's only one. There's only one paid staff member that works on engineering, to answering the phones up front. And so, you know,
there's also all sorts of committees that you can get involved in. And a lot of people, once they've made the pledge, start to feel a little proprietary towards KBOO, a little sense of ownership, and want to get even more involved beyond just voting for the KBOO Board of Directors, but actually coming in and getting involved on a committee, or maybe even getting involved on the board. And that, in fact, is what I did when I first came in. I started working on the programming committee, and then I ended up serving on the board. And I ended up really padding my resume very nicely with all sorts of training that I got here for free at KBOO, just on hands-on experience. 503-232-8818. Think of this as a community resource. Think of this as a sort of a united way for the hip, because you're making available a chance for all sorts of causes to come on and get their voices on the air.
So give us a call at 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-KBOO. That's 1-877-500-5266. Or you can pledge online at our secure website at www.kboo.fm. So please go ahead and give us a call. And I know that this show is the sort of show that you're just not going to be able to find anywhere else in the mainstream media, certainly, and not even really in Portland. So please give us a call, 503-232-8818.
Yes, 503-232-8818. And again, it's tax deductible. We can make arrangements however you want to do this to make your payments. We can make it as convenient as possible. But we need you to join and become one of 6,000 people who are now members of the KBOO Foundation, who for a year are owning a radio station. Freedom of the press belongs only to those who own it, and this is your chance to own free press, freedom of speech here in Portland.
You have a great opportunity to become the media, not only from coming down and becoming trained, which is what I did, but also in calling up and paying for the media. And we only do this for 3 weeks in the spring and 3 weeks in the fall, and for only about 20 minutes an hour, which is less commercials than you would get during a regular community radio a regular commercial radio station. And we're going to go back over to the to the folks and hole in the bucket and let them get on with this good work.
Hello, welcome back. Thank you there in Pledge Central. I hope we're getting that phone ringing. I know there's a lot of folks out there who enjoy the show, and again, we gotta support what's good. So I believe I should have Stephen on the line. Stephen, can you hear me?
Yep.
How you doing tonight?
Good.
Stephen, what grade are you in?
Seventh.
Excellent. So tonight we're going to talk a little bit about what your family experienced over the last couple years. And I just wanted to ask you, your family was homeless. When did you guys become homeless?
It started around like the end of last year until like, or kind of around the end of last year. And then it ended like the beginning of this year.
And when at the time that you became homeless, you were living in Tigard, is that right?
Yeah, kind of Tigard, and then in Hillsboro, and then back in Tigard.
So it sounds like when you lost the place that you were living, that you had to bounce around a bit.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Why don't you tell the listeners, where were you living during that that period where you didn't have a place to call home?
Well, once we lived at my aunt's, who lived in Tigard, and then we lived at this homeless shelter. I think it's the Good Neighbor Center. And then we moved to my grandpa's, and then we went to, I can't remember, that there was another homeless shelter we moved to. And that's about it. And then we got a place.
When you were moving around, were you able to stay in the same school? Did you have to switch schools?
I got two different schools. The first school I went was like Peter Bosco Elementary, which has like 7th or 6th graders in it, which was a 6th grader elementary school. And then I went to Bowler Middle School.
What was it like having to switch schools during the school year?
It was kind of hard. It's because it was really hard because, well, it's not really hard. It's just kind of hard because, like, when you switch to a different school, they're usually doing a bunch of different stuff, and they're usually in the middle of a huge project. Because when I got to Fowler, they were in the middle of a big project, so I couldn't do it, and I missed out on four or five days of classes because I couldn't do the project because I missed like the first 5 days of projects.
Did it hurt your grades or your ability to learn?
I don't think so because I got transferred from the school, so I didn't have to do that assignment.
But still, it must have been a little bit strange that when all your classmates were working on something, what did you do? Did you just have to do something else, or was there a new assignment given to you?
No, I kind of straightened up the room. It was kind of my choice to straighten up the room because I didn't want to sit there all day and listen to people talk about something I don't know.
So when you were staying at the shelter or staying with your aunt or your grandpa, did you have good places to do your homework?
Yeah. At the shelters, they have, like, you have to stay in your room and do your homework. And then when you're done with your homework, you can come outside or go outside your room.
How did that go for you?
That worked okay. Kind of sucked, but...
Tell me about what was it like. I know for me, one of the things that that I really liked in elementary school and in junior high was my friends. Was it hard leaving your friends, going from one school to another?
Kind of, yeah. Because at my first school, Peter Bosco, I didn't really have that many friends. I had like 3 friends. But, and then when I got to this Fowler Middle School, I got some friends, but I lost a few friends at Peter Bosco. They were pretty good friends, too.
What's it like, too, being the new kid? Was it easy to make new friends? Did people know you were the new kid? Did they know you were homeless?
Yeah, I don't know how to explain it. No, they didn't. But when I made some friends, I kind of explained about myself and where I was living and stuff. So I kind of told them. And it's kind of hard for me because I'm like the only boy with long hair in the school. So.
And so people were just sort of giving you a hard time or whatever?
Yeah. I had to make people think I wasn't a girl and...
Yeah, that doesn't sound like too much fun.
Well, yeah, it's okay.
If, you know, one of the things that we like to do on Hole in the Bucket on this radio program is try to explain to people who might not know about a situation More information, more personal stories about what something's like. For the people who are listening tonight, what would you tell them was the hardest part about being homeless with your family?
Well, it's kind of hard when I still hear people talk about it today. Oh, I seen this hobo down in the alley. People think we're just like a whole different race of people. We're not. We're just normal people. It's just that we don't have enough money to rent a house or live somewhere. It's kind of hard listening to people talk, oh, that hobo down the street, he barely has any clothes and stuff. It's kind of hard listening to people when you know that you were in that situation.
Now, I know that at one point, and I think maybe you can tell me what school, because I think I might get the details confused, but didn't you have an opportunity maybe to speak to some of your classmates in an assembly and tell them a little bit about the experience?
I don't think so. I know we had somebody from my shelter come, one of my shelters come and talk about the school.
Did your classmates know that was the shelter you were staying at, or was that more kept, you know, on the down low?
Yeah, that was kept kind of on the down low. Well, I told a few of my friends, but
So, how is it where you're living now? Is it good?
Yeah, it's good. We have a nice apartment, a nice 2-bedroom.
And it's you and your mom and dad. Do you have any brothers and sisters?
I have one little sister. She's 5. She just turned 5 like a few weeks ago.
And what's her name?
My sister?
Yeah.
Her name's Orion.
Orion. Orion is the person who founded this show here. So that's a cool name. So is it easier now that you're in the same school? I mean, do you have a place to do your homework in the apartment? Is that easier for you?
Yeah. It's really kind of easier because now it's nothing special. But since I've been in the school for a while, now it's nothing special. Oh, I'm homeless. I used to be homeless, but I'm not homeless anymore. It's nothing special anymore. So that's kind of good.
Yeah. Well, so when you were in the shelter, were there other kids there too?
Actually, the shelters we went to,
mm-hmm.
To get in, you have to have at least one kid.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter how old they were, as long as they were under 18.
So were there other kids that were your age that were in the shelter with you, or, you know, to hang out with or to play with?
Kind of. There was, most kids didn't leave their room because, I don't know, they didn't. But one of the shelters we lived in, we had a playground. We had it for a little bit, and then it got remodeled. So still being remodeled right now.
So then it sounds like maybe there wasn't really too much a place to play while you were at shelter.
Well, yeah, there was. There was one of those houses, like a small house for little kids.
Mm-hmm.
But me and some of my friends used to, like, run from the little kids, and we used to hide in the house, and they had little lawn chairs for little kids and little tables, and we used to bar up the doors and windows with those things. And the little kids were trying to get us. It was kind of like tag.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, it was fun.
Well, tell me about this. One of the things that, and I thought about this when we were talking yesterday, too, you seem like a pretty neat, tough-skinned kid. Like you, as you said, it was hard, but it wasn't too hard. Do you think that for maybe some other kids, it would have been harder than it was for you?
Yeah, maybe. I know some girls don't like it because they have, like, street cred, air quotes. They have their, like, street cred, and they can't, if they're homeless, oh, that ruins my whole street cred. So they just kind of keep it a secret and all bottled up inside of them, and it's kind of harder for some people because they've got, like, they're popular and they think, oh, if they know I'm homeless, that I'd be less popular, so they kind of keep it bottled up inside, and then it's kind of hard for them because, well, you kind of get the point, right?
Yeah,
it's kinda hard for them to keep it all bottled up inside.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Well, we're about wrapped up here, and I was thinking, is there anything that you'd like to say to the audience, any last thoughts for people tonight as they think about, you know, homelessness and what it's like for kids who are trying to learn?
Yeah. Homeless people aren't different than other people. They're just normal people who don't have a job or can't get any money because they didn't go to school long enough to get a good job, and they can't support their family. We're no different than any other people. We just don't have a place to live.
Well, Stephen, I couldn't have said that better myself. I think that I really appreciate you coming on the air and sharing your story. Not everybody feels comfortable talking on the radio. It sounds like you might have a future speaking to people. You seem pretty comfortable.
Yep, I'm fine with speaking on the radio and speaking in public.
Well,
it's fun.
Cool. Well, I really appreciate you coming on. I wish you the best of luck in the rest of the school year. And we're going to say goodnight now. And I'm going to send this radio show back over to Pledge Central. Thanks again, Stephen.
See ya.
Howdy. My name is Richard Francis. And I really don't do that much public affairs and news anymore these days. I have in the past. One of the things that I really valued when I was able to do that kind of work, one of the things I really valued about cable was the ability to do things like you just listened to actually bring you the voices of people who have been impacted by policy decisions that are being made in our area, and to really give those voices a chance to come on the air and speak truth to power, as the saying goes. I want to read you something really quickly here, if my voice holds together. This is our programming charter. This is the law of the land in this building right here. KABU shall be a model of programming, filling needs that other media do not, providing programming to diverse communities and unserved or underserved groups. KABU shall provide access and training to those communities. KABU News Public Affairs Programming shall place an emphasis on providing a forum for unpopular, controversial, or neglected perspectives on important local, national, and international issues, reflecting KABU's values of peace, justice, democracy, human rights, multiculturalism, environmentalism, freedom of expression, and social change. KABU's arts, cultural, and music programming shall cover a wide spectrum of expression, from traditional to experimental, and reflect the diverse cultures we serve. KABU shall strive for spontaneity and programming excellence, both in content and technique. That's a very carefully honed programming charter that was really worked out very carefully here at KABU. And it's the rules that we are guided by when we bring you programming. It's why we bring you programming like you just listened to. In my own case, when back in the early 90s, when I first became infected with HIV, I learned on the air and turned my learning experience into a general learning experience. And one of the things that I ended up doing on my first large HIV special was sort of taking a cue from the sort of thing that you're listening to tonight, to actually bring on the people that have been impacted by the decisions instead of the experts and the people with the money and the power. And in fact, bringing in, I think I brought in about a dozen long-term survivors. And when the show was over, they were actually weeping because they knew that we were doing something here at KABU that they had never experienced before. They were having the last word. And those were the people that were the most directly impacted. That's something we can do here because we're non-commercial, because we get money from people like you. But you have to make the phone call, 503-232-8818.
Or 1-877-500-KABU if you're outside the Portland area or across the river. One of the things that Michael Anderson was telling us before the show started was that the homeless population for children here in Portland has gone up 37% in the last year. And it's due to the unenlightened leadership or lack of leadership by the Bush administration that's causing homelessness to just to take off. The real tragedy is when kids themselves are homeless. You know, and as we're hearing, it's like they take it in stride, but it's up to us to be able to fight against homelessness and to find affordable housing for families and to fight against the disinterest of the media and the powers that be. And I'll get a little point, a little correction here, is that the 37% is in Oregon, not just in Portland.
And also, don't forget that when you call up, it's tax deductible. We can make arrangements for you to do it in monthly payments that are automatically withdrawn from your account. And you also have the option of going for some books, and we have some special books that are being offered here for the first time on this show. We've got, for a $75 minimum pledge, a book, Voices from the Street, Truths About Homelessness from Sisters of the Road, for a $75 minimum pledge. And then also, let's see, we had some books available for $60, but they're buried here somewhere in the pile, and we'll have to get to them later because I'm not going to dig them up now. But we need you to call up and make your pledge. You can ask about them when you call up. We'll find them here eventually. 503-232-8818. There it is. But we've got Beggars of Life by Jack Tully, You Can't Win by Jack Black, and Boxcar Bertha by Ben Reitman. Each of those available for a $60 minimum pledge. It's tax deductible. You get a membership card. It gives you discounts around town, and you get your money back, and you're supporting a wonderful organization that makes programs like this possible. But you got to call and make your pledge and become a member. 503-232-8818. 503-232-8818. We have a goal, and we're depending on you. We don't do broadcasting. We do specialized casting. And so that means we don't have a large number of listeners. We have a small, dedicated batch of listeners, but we need you to be really dedicated and help pay for what you're enjoying. 503-232-8818. Again, 503-232-8818.
And, this isn't the only show that's being supported by KABU on its public affairs programming. We have shows and also shows from other cultures. You know, we have Persian, we have Hispanic radio, we have Grateful Dead radio. If they're not an alternate group, I don't know what is. This is more than any other station here in Portland. This is your station. I mean, it's like community radio is under attack all across the country and is beginning to die out. And you know, one of the things that KABU is local radio. It has local access. We offers local activists working for positive social change a chance to speak on the community issues every day. Legally, it's part of our mission to train people on the craft of community radio. And there's local programming. Our DJs and hosts are live around Portland and most gladly honor requests for listeners and encourage feedback for their programs. And there's local control. The board of directors consists of elected listener members just like you. And the board, the staff, and volunteers make sure that we stay true to our charter. You know, if local control of news and music programming is important to you, it's time for you to do your part by becoming a KABU member right now. Please give us a call at 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-KABU.
You are back in the studio with Michael Anderson and Hole in the Bucket, and I believe we should have Renee on the line. Renee, can you hear me?
Hello?
Hey, Renee, it's Michael. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing very good. So you got a flat tire out there on 205 right about now, huh?
I sure do.
Well, for our listening audience, Renee was going to come down to the studio, which we were very excited to have her. Had a little mishap on the road, but showing some perseverance, we're doing it anyways on your community radio. And we have Renee by phone. So thank you very much for coming in to our show, contributing. I want to start with a little bit of background about yourself. You graduated from Canby High just this past spring?
Yes.
And while you were at Canby High, did you always have a place to live?
No, I did not.
Not
very sturdy, no.
Tell our listeners a little bit more about how that came true for you and what you did to find a place to lay your head down and such.
Well, a lot of it had actually revolved around my friends, like I was mentioning to you earlier in the week. Without my friends, I couldn't have done a lot of this, especially, let alone even graduate high school with some people that I've attended school with. So every day was always a new journey. I went to school most of the day, and usually right after school I went to work, and after that it was kind of just a throw-up of where I'd be and who I'd be with and whatnot. So it turned into a really crazy time, especially when I had more family drama than usual within my family. So when that came around, it even made things a lot harder, which therefore... It was at the time. I was also with my boyfriend, who was a big, big tribute to a place for me to stay. But that didn't always work out as perfect as that. Like, that didn't work out. There was times where I stayed in my car. There was times where I used to work at a motel. I got really cheap rates there. I'd rent out a room a couple nights there and go to work there. And then across the street, I worked also. So it was really chaotic, just jumping around. And it still is. I still don't have a place till this day, and I'm working on it. I've worked to the age of since I was 15 on my own. So,
and you're 19 now, so it's been really over 4 years that you've been on your own.
18, yes.
Oh, 18. Wow.
Yes.
So just a little bit of background for our listeners. So you had some family instability where it made more sense for you to go out on your own than to stay with your family. And you basically went all the way through high school like that.
I did, yes. Being the most independent that I've probably ever met is myself. I've had a lot of friends just as independent as me, but, out of the whole group, I think that I've struggled with a lot of that, and a lot of my friends can tell that. While I was attending school, I, at one point at the beginning of my senior year, with me having doing everything on my own already, I had carried two jobs, one part-time and one full-time while attending school. So I work continually 60 hours, if not a little bit more, every week, and going to school, too. So it's definitely a very curvy road trip, but yes, it's all been me since that age. So.
Well, how did you do it? Boy, 60 hours a week plus schoolwork. Were you able to keep up with your schoolwork?
as hard as it sounds, it was kind of a flip up. I mean, I had worked motels on the weekends, so I was up till morning there, and what really got me are the Mondays when my teachers would see me just dragging in, because Sundays I'd be up till 1 or 2 in the morning when my shift ended at the hotel. So if not every other Monday, I probably wouldn't go to school, which I did slack on a lot. And without a lot of the teachers at the high school, I made it with the bare minimum to graduate, but I still did it. And I couldn't have done it without the teachers there. And it was very hard. My senior year, I had so much trouble from the beginning trying to get all my classes done, and with working and everything, trying to support myself, I failed a lot on being able to get the classes that I needed done. The classes all the way up my senior year, which my last trimester, you usually take 5 classes a trimester. And in my senior year, I was taking 8 classes on my last trimester just so I could make it with the graduation.
So
it was really hard.
And you were doing that on top of working, too.
I'm sorry?
You were doing that while continuing to work as well.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
So
very, very, very difficult.
How did you do homework? Where did you have space to lay your stuff out to do a project or other stuff like that?
For school?
Yeah.
When I had a lot of that stuff, I would try, I did a lot and a lot of stuff. One thing about working at a motel is it was so dead most of the time where I could conquer a lot of my stuff on the weekends there. But, I mean, I couldn't always count on that. And so I would do a lot of work during my lunches at my other employer that I was working at. So on my lunch breaks, I'd go in the break room, constantly do current, you know, half hour that I had there. And I, you know, if I didn't get it all done, I'd stay up till wee hours in the morning, go to school the next day. And it was a really, really hard thing to do. And I've talked to so many kids about it, and so much kids are slacking in school that say they're having such a hard time, and let them know, hey, you know, you're not the only ones. I went through a lot of stuff to where I'm even at right now, where I'm, you know, finally getting up and beyond myself and still trying to, I'm still independent to this day and still trying to all the way out.
So what was the most difficult part about, you know, moving around, constantly hustling to find a place to stay? What was the most difficult part for you about that?
I think honestly what the most difficult part was not having the love that you need from your family. That's why my friends were very, very important to me, because I didn't have a lot of family even growing up. My biological dad didn't raise him at the age of 14. He wasn't around too much. My mother had two other sons and grew up in just a really bad, bad neighborhood. So the one thing that was really difficult about it is when I'm stuck and I knew that I was in a pit that I couldn't get out of personally, is having people to turn to, and not having the people that I wanted to turn to, such as or mother or a family sibling. That was really difficult. So, like I said, without my friends, I couldn't have done a lot of the stuff I've done, and especially teachers that helped me through high school. I know to this day that if I did not have those teachers and the support from my friends, that I know that I wouldn't be in this position today, where I'm walking around, you know, keeping a smile on my head every day, another day of work, you know, actually just being happy that I finished high school even. It was a huge help to have that support from my friends and teachers, because I didn't have that family support, which made it very difficult.
Now, I know that this is probably true for anybody, that, you know, when you get up in the morning, you like to wash up and look good. But particularly, I think, you know, I know myself, when I was in high school, you know, it was an important thing for me to my time getting ready. What did you do on those nights when you were staying in your car?
This may sound crazy. I would, when I worked the weekends, I knew I didn't have a stable place to stay, or I was at a friend's house, couldn't take a shower that late because their parents were sleeping. There's been numerous times where I've gone to school, you know, because I can't, just a few minutes before that class, I mean, even been late to my first period while I'm in the bathroom brushing my teeth or throwing up my hair or something, you know, just so I look like I haven't been drained. And I constantly had teachers ask me if I was in an okay position and if I needed help, so which a lot of teachers were willing to give me. But I was so far in my independency where I didn't feel like I thought that I could do everything on my own. And with a lot of, I mean, from some of the teachers there, they, you know, they helped me out a little bit. They gave me, especially one of the counselors there, a lot of help, gave me, you know, personal, even as a girl, for stuff that I couldn't afford myself, because here I'm trying to maintain my vehicle to get to work, my insurance, you know. So I constantly, you know, like little shampoo like that. So every now and then, there was even a point I actually washed my hair at school, which was probably the most humiliating day, because I had a girl walk in on me and I didn't know what to say. Kids, you know, are like, oh my gosh, what is she doing? And it's not like I woke up every morning and I hopped in a shower and I got to sit there for an hour and just totally pamper myself, because I really didn't. I mean, at one point, my whole room was in my car. My whole backseat was filled with clothes, shoes, makeup, everything that you could think of. Typical girl. I mean, girls have a lot of things. So I know the girls' beauty is like very important. So that's what kind of just made me realize myself, because I realized at one point that I didn't need all those things.
So it was
very complicated at times, but I pulled through.
Yeah, well, tell me a little bit. So did I mean, obviously your friends knew because they were helping you out and pulling you through. What about other students? Did they really know what was going on with you? Did you, you know, sort of just keep it on a need-to-know basis? Or
I had some students there that were some of my friends and some of them that were just acquaintances, but it was actually one of my good friends, because I never let really the school know about what I was going through, because I was always scared something worse was going to happen to me. So I actually had one of my good girlfriends that I've known for quite some time go to a counselor and tell the counselor my situation. So at that point is when the counselor came to me talking about it, and I was so mad at her. I will never forget her for doing it. To this day, I thank her with just everything that I could thank her with, because without them, I couldn't have made it through it. But there was a lot of classmates I had as well that knew my situation and what I was in. And, you know, they'd always come up and like, man, how do you do it, Renee? I mean, I can't even manage a part-time job and go to school. So, I mean, it was kind of a struggle. But then again, I had those surrounding people to just kind of keep me going with laughs and giggles and whatnot. And they all knew my situation, which was totally fine with me, because by the time I my high school year, the whole school knew it by then anyway, of the girl that brushes her teeth in the bathroom. So
now, and in fact, didn't you get to give an address at your graduation?
I did, and I was so thankful for it. Oh my goodness. At the end of my senior year, I realized what I had gone through, and I'd realized it myself, and through thought that I was just the biggest rebel and everything. And like I said, I had a hard time getting along with a lot of the teachers there, just because, you know, I had problems, and I just wanted to be alone on them, because I was having such a hard time anyway with it. So with that, it was at the end of the senior year, and there was three speeches they got to give, the seniors did. So the students applied, you know, to give the speeches at graduation, applied. And so we gave our speeches. I came in fourth place. And like I said, there's only three places to give the thing. So I was crushed. I was totally just hurt by it. I cried, and I was so bummed out by it, because I was just like, you know, I wanted everything to give this speech. And I talked to a couple of the head people at the high school. I talked to the principal. I wrote a note to the principal saying how much this speech meant to me, because I've struggled so much. And, you know, they still said, sorry, only three allowed. It was really weird. Just at the last week, the number one girl that got the top spot, she decided she didn't want to do her speech no more. So she came and she told me, hey, I'm not going to do the speech. I don't want to do it. And I was like, whoa, you know, this is huge. I was like, why don't you want to do it? And I tried encouraging her to do it, you know, because she had got that number one spot. I was like, you deserve this, you know. You've gone to high school just like I have, you know. And she was like, I really know how much this means to you. And I had really big passion for it, but I don't want to do it no more. So I went in, and it was just probably the happiest senior year, especially. I had one of the teachers there in the student staff area come and call me in to her office. And she told me, she just lit me, she had a big smile on her face, and she was like, you get to do your speech. And I just started crying in her office, because it meant so much to me to sit there and tell students how I did. And so come senior day, I walked up, I had some kids hoot and holler, you know, because my whole class knew me. And when I was giving the speech, I cried, because I just knew how related it was. And the first thing my speech started off with is that I basically have struggled a lot through my high school years, with school, with family. So I was so happy to do it, Michael. You have no idea.
Well, that is an awesome story. Renee, we got to sort of wrap it up a little here. I got to send it over to Pledge Drive. But I was thinking, if there's one thing that you could tell the listeners about what's it like to be a homeless student, and something that they should keep in mind and understand better, what would that be?
It's there's one thing I could tell them.
Yeah.
I think that, let's see, how can I put this? If you're disabled home, you're considered homeless. If you don't have that family support, I think you are considered a homeless. And just because you're homeless doesn't mean that you're worse than everyone else. It doesn't mean that you're living under a bridge. It doesn't mean that you're, you know, the biggest loser on the side of the road. I mean, anybody, and like my own personal experience, anybody can do anything as long as they can. And I would definitely say that if you know someone like that, they probably are a great person at heart and they can do a lot.
Renee, thank you so much for coming on the program. I really appreciate it. I hope you get that tire fixed. You're saying that
I got it fixed, Michael.
All right, that's great. So now you're the biggest winner on the side of the road.
Yes.
All right, Renee, thank you very much. I'll give you a call. I'll give you that other information we talked about. But I'm going to send it back over to Pledge Drive. This is KBOO Hole in the Bucket 90.7. Back over to you at Pledge Drive. Good night, Renee.
Good night, Michael.
Hi, and here we are talking to you about becoming a member, about pledging your support to Community Radio KBOO. The number is 503-232-8818. That's 503-232-8818. Membership begins at $40, and that gives you membership for a year. Now, if you're low income or if you're a student, we can go for a smaller amount. But we're looking for you to become a member of this community, Community Radio, KBOO Portland. If you're outside the Portland area, you can still become a member. 1-877-500-5266. In fact, if you're listening, you sort of are a member already, but why not make it official? 1-877-500-5266. You can also pledge online, and you can we can make arrangements to break down the payments however you want to make the payments. How about maybe making your support about $10 a month? That would be really nice to see. And that would give you $120. That would also give you a really nice premium and or a nice gift that we can pass along. And speaking of those, we've got some special gifts for this show. A book for a $75 minimum pledge, Voices from the Street, Truths About Homelessness from the Sisters of the Road. And it's got really good write-up on the back with quotes from Ursula Le Guin, Gus Van Sant, and Peter DeFazio. Nice, diverse group all recommending this book. That's a $75 minimum pledge. And we've got three others for a $60 minimum pledge.
Yes, you can give us a call at 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-KBOO to keep this sort of alternative radio that you only hear here on Portland. It's where else you're not going to be hearing about the mainstream media even once a month, maybe even once a year, on the homeless issue. And it was just so incredible listening to these kids that have been caught in you know, George Bush used to talk about there's, you know, that he was a compassionate conservative and how he was wouldn't remove the safety net. Well, you know, not only did he remove the safety net, he started cutting everybody else's lines and rungs that they're holding on to.
Now he's only interested in terror.
I tell you, you know, the biggest terrorists are in D.C. right now, and I got to tell you, I'm from D.C., I know.
503-232-8818. Again, 503-232-8818.
And for a $60 pledge, we have some three excellent books that are available here at Hole in the Bucket. One is Beggars of Life by Jack Tully. You Can't Win by Jack Black, and Boxcar Bertha by Ben Reitman. And these are all, you know, great stories, that, you know, talking about the history of being homeless in this country. And, you know, what does it take to survive? That's what was true back last century is still true this century. We seem to think, I always thought that the 21st century would you know, everything would be like Star Trek, everything would be wonderful. But unfortunately, due to the effects of George Bush and company, it's just not. The 21st century has unfortunately brought economic disaster to those that were that are most in need, and the richer getting richer and the poorer getting poorer.
We need you to do your part right now. The number again is 503-232-8818. That's 503-232-8818. This is your last chance to show your support for this program. and for the show your support for the whole idea behind the program and the station that makes it possible. We have a goal that we need to reach, and we haven't reached it yet, so we need you to call now and pledge your support.
How close are we on the goal there?
We have $140 left to go.
All right, there's got to be somebody out there who's going to kick up $140. That's a little over $10 a month. Was that $12.50 a month or something like that? It's very easy for folks to do out in radio land. My math might be bad, but you know what I'm talking about. We heard some great stories tonight from Renee, from Steven, showing that even against incredible odds, that the human spirit can push through. And I think you heard from both of those kids, it wasn't easy at all. At times they had to deal with some humiliating stuff. But what they said, you know, Andy was just talking about some of the social malaise we have right now at this time in our country and in the world. But you know what we also have? We have the essence of KBOO, which is people power. And it's that same kind of hopeful story that you're hearing from Renee and from Steven. That's the story that you hear again and again from a station like KBOO. There are bad things happening, but there are good people that are going to persevere through them. And for this station to continue to persevere, we need you to help us tonight. So, guys, thank you very much for your pledging tonight. And, hey, listeners, let's get that phone ringing out there, and I'm going to do a little bit of wrap-up of the show.
All right.
Okay, so... Everybody, again, this is Michael Anderson. We've been listening to Hole in the Bucket tonight. We've had some great guests in there. It sounds like, okay, there we go. The Pledge Central is now down on the mics. All right, so I just feel very, very fortunate that both for Renee and Steven, that they would feel comfortable calling in here tonight. I think one of the things that we know about families who are experiencing homelessness is they're often invisible for very good reasons. Like Renee said, she was worried about coming forward to her school because she thought something worse might happen. There's a lot of parents who do have their kids that are trying to keep things under wraps, out of the public eye, so their family doesn't get broken apart. You know, this is a hidden story that we need to bring to the surface, because it's really not right that any kid trying to succeed in school should be asked to do that without a place to lay their head each night, without a place to do their homework. So we have an event actually coming up next month in Portland that is right on this topic. If you've been interested tonight at what you're hearing, you might want to find out more about the 19th Annual Conference of the National Association of Education for Children and Youth that's going to be held at the Oregon Convention Center November 10th through 13th. The conference theme is Blazing Trails and Moving Mountains, Educating All Our Children and Youth. It's going to be a unique showcase for best practices and services around the country. I think you heard a little bit from Renee about what a difference it made when the staff at Canby High gave her the support that she needed. There's educators and student liaisons throughout the country that are, you know, fighting uphill to try to help these kids make it. And this is a conference that really both celebrates their work and where you can learn more about what's going on. One of the best things that's going to be happening, the whole conference is going to be good. One of the best things is on November 11th, there's going to be a youth summit. So I know a lot of people listening to KBOO finding about youth news. We have the Youth Collective here. On Sunday, November 11th, there's going to be a youth summit at the conference that will feature youth from the Newburgh-Dundee Youth Outreach Program and the indie band The Rainy States, which is going to be doing some music. So you can find out more about this upcoming conference at the website for the National Association, which is www.naehcy.org. That's naehcy.org. Or you can just Google Homeless Youth Conference in Portland, and you should be able to come up with something, or Homeless Education Conference as well. I'm going to sign off now. This is Michael Anderson. You've been listening to your community radio station, KBOO FM, 90.7 on your dial. This has been Hole in the Bucket, and we look forward to seeing you on October 31st, Halloween, where we will have another great program about the issues that you hear nowhere else. Support your community radio. Call into those pledge drivers. Have a great night.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Radioland. I am Eldridge Cleaver, the former Minister of Information of the Black Panther Party. You are listening to KBOO Portland. This is listener-sponsored, non-commercial community radio. I want you to listen to and support KBOO because Portland needs it, you need it, and the world needs it. Ubalagani, boing, boing.
This is the community calendar for Wednesday, October 10th. What a Way to Go, Life at the End of Empire, is a feature-length documentary and will be screened tonight at 7 o'clock p.m. at the First Unitarian Church at Southwest 12th and Main Street in downtown Portland.